Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
Who knows what the banner of the year is? Faithfulness, that is correct. That is correct. And this morning I want to start with a story as we get into the message of a farmer. I grew up in a farming community. My grandpa was a farmer in Zimbabwe, and my opa was a farmer as well in Zimbabwe. My grandpa Edwards, he used to plant corn, and it wasn't big fields of corn. It was small fields. It was basically just for the workers on the farm as well as for personal use. It wasn't to sell, so it was small. And I remember seeing Grandpa, you know, it doesn't matter what the elements were, it doesn't matter if it was raining or it was sunshine or whatever, he would be plowing that, and he would be plowing that field, and it would be dust everywhere, and he'd come back for lunch, and then back to the farmhouse, and Granny would give us all lunch, and then he'd go off and he'd plant some more, and you know, and he was diligent with this field because he laid pipes. He had a pump down at the river, and he laid pipes all the way up, and you know, he made sure that this field was watered, and when the little in Zimbabwe it gets reasonably hot as well where the farm was, and when the sun came out, lots of those first leaves were scorched by the sun. But Grandpa was there making sure and tending to them and making sure they're getting watered, making sure that you know there was no weeds and cleaning it out. And Grandpa was really, really proud of this. And it reminded me, you know, that sometimes seeing a farmer like that, just tending to the field and protecting the field and trusting that growth will come in all seasons, is the ultimate of faithfulness. He's faithful with that seed. He's faithful with that soil. He tends to it so that it produces a harvest. That is faithfulness. That's a picture of faithfulness. You see, faithfulness is not measured by applause, but by obedience. Faithfulness does not seem impressive to our world and our society. You know, there's a lot of unfaithfulness in the community nowadays. Unfaithfulness in all spheres of life. But I want you to know today that faithfulness is precious to God. Very precious to God. Why? Because it's steady. It brings a steadiness. It brings a dependability. And ultimately, it's productive. Faithfulness is productive. And our heart over the next 10 and a half months, which is what's left of this year, believe it or not, as a church, is we're going to recover, not discover, not uncover, recover the biblical understanding of what that word faithfulness truly means. I'm sensing this. It's important, so important that we need to spend time to uncover, to recover, to discover, to highlight the importance. And even this week, last week actually, I was sitting because Pastor Wayne was here, so I wasn't preaching, he was preaching, so I had more time. And even on Monday, which was my day off, I was awake very early and I went downstairs and I got out the word, and I'm back in Hebrews, and I saw something that somehow I've missed. I've read Hebrews, I've studied Hebrews, I love Hebrews, but I missed this. And this is what I want to share today, because I believe that this is part of the recovery. So are you ready? You ready? You ready for this word? Right? Grab your Bibles. Everybody grab their Bibles. Hope you have your physical Bibles. I just want to say this. I preached at youth on Friday night, and I want to say 95% of them had physical Bibles. I was pretty impressed, really impressed. So may that be an example for us. All right, our main scripture, but before we go, let's pray. Father, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you that you are here. Holy Spirit, open our ears, open our eyes, open our hearts to receive all that you have for us in Jesus' mighty name. Stretch us. Amen, amen, amen. Hebrews 5:7-10. Turn your Bibles, it will be on the screen. Hebrews 5:7-10, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Love it. That's a sermon in itself. Anybody who's in prayer ministry, right there, go and study that. But verse 8 is where I want to go. 8 says, son though he was, capital S, son though he learned obedience from what he suffered. If you've got your physical Bible, underline those words. He learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. I've titled this message, Faithfulness in the Fire. Say, are you ready? Say to your neighbor, are you ready? Because here comes some truth. Today we're going to see that faithfulness is obedience sustained in fire. Faithfulness is obedience sustained in fire. This kind of obedience that we're talking about is not theoretical. It's costly. It's formed in pressure. And today I want us to unpack 8 and 9, verses 8 and 9, remembering always that the revelation we want is faithfulness. So beginning with verse 8, it says, son though he was. The revelation is this: faithfulness flows from identity. Faithfulness flows from your identity as a son and daughter of the Most High God. You see, Jesus didn't obey to earn his sonship. He obeyed from sonship. He is calling us to obey from our sonship. Because why? Faithfulness flows easier from identity, not from performance. It is easier to be faithful when you walk as a son and a daughter of God. So often we approach faithfulness like it's about something we have to prove, like proving that God is pleased with me. You know, God, you've got to be pleased with me, or proving that we're committed. You know, I'm there every Sunday. I'm committed. But that's maybe not faithfulness. You don't have to prove anything. All the while, we're trying to prove something because that's the society that we're in. But let me put it in another perspective to our walk with Jesus. I am faithful to my wife because I am a son first. I am faithful with my time because I am a son first. I am faithful with my finances because I'm a son first. You see, everything that we do should come out of our identity as sons and daughters. My faithfulness does not originate in me. My faithfulness actually flows from the faithful God who lives in me. You see, faithfulness is not earned. It's living. It's not earned. It's living from the reality that we already belong. That person sitting next to you belongs. They belong to him. They belong to him. You belong to him. So the next verse that we have here is that he learned obedience. Underline that word, learned. He learned obedience. Faithfulness is formed, not gifted. The Greek word here, obedience, is that word that's on the screen there, and it means to learn through experience, to come to understand by practice. Now, here's a mind-blowing revelation. Even Jesus learned obedience. Even Jesus learned to come to understanding by practice. This is not, we're not talking about a classroom learning. We're talking about a lived learning. It's the kind of learning that comes only by walking through something. Now, I have to put this in. A very, very, very important point. Jesus was never disobedient. Saying another way, Jesus did not move from disobedience to obedience. You see, he was sinless, but he was fully God and fully man. And as man, he walked the path that each human walks, including experiencing what it means to obey, even through suffering. What we go through, he went through before us, and more, and more. How did Jesus learn obedience? Well, he still obeyed when he was hungry in the wilderness. He still obeyed when he was misunderstood by his family. He still obeyed when he was rejected by his own people. He still obeyed when sweat became blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. He still obeyed even when they pierced the nails through his hands. Each stage of his obedience as man strengthened his faithfulness. Hear me, church. Faithfulness matters because your now is not your final destination. It's a word for you. It's a word for everybody in this room. Your current circumstance, your current situation is not your final destination. It's the daily yes. It's the unseen obedience. It's the quiet surrender. It's all those three things and more that is preparing you for what God has already purposed for you. He's preparing you for what he has purposed for you. You're not just surviving today. Although you may sometimes feel it. Been there, done that. As fresh as this week. You are being formed for tomorrow. Young people, hear me. I really feel amongst the young adults that there's really coming a refining to our young adults. Why? Because there's a new glory that is going to be released upon them that will ignite the revivals that are yet to come. You just got to think about it. It's happening again in America. It's happening again in America. Colleges are coming to a standstill, worshiping for 50 hours. Lord, do it in Australia. Do it in Australia. You are not just surviving today. You are being formed for tomorrow. You see, Luke 16:10 says, he who is faithful in little will also be faithful in much. Biblical examples of that is David was faithful in the field before he was entrusted with the throne. David looked like sheep, smelt like sheep. I even said in the first service, he might even have spoken like sheep. Morning. I don't know. But he was there. He killed the lion. He killed the bear. He stank. I was reading a little book over the Christmas holidays about sheep and shepherds. A really enlightening book. And literally, they smelled like the sheep so that the sheep would accept them. David stank before he got onto that throne. Joseph was faithful in the prison before he was promoted to the palace. Jesus was faithful in obscurity before he was revealed in glory. You see, your faithfulness in your now prepares you for your next. Paulina and I, our lives. 25 years ago, we said yes to Jesus. We landed on the soil of Australia in Perth with two bags, thinking, we're here. Oh, my word. If I had have known the journey we would have been on, I may not have said yes. But we've got challenges, and it was the visa. So anybody who's got a visa issues, been there, done that. We had church hurt. Anybody church hurt, been there, done that. Had more church hurt. More church hurt. Had more church hurt. More church hurt. Changed states. More church hurt. And so we went through life. And we went through financial difficulties. And we went through everything. But you know what? I can stand in front of you today and say, Romans 8:28, that he weaves everything into his perfect plan for those who he loves. Why? Because his plan never changes. His plan never changes. And we can stand here today more mature and ready to fill this role. But without that, you would have had a different person in front of you. Let me just repeat what I'm saying. Faithfulness in your now prepares you for your next. Don't jump ship. I need to say this. Don't jump ship. I don't know who this is for. There's somebody here, you're thinking, I'm going to jump ship because the grass looks greener on the other side. Uh-uh. Faithfulness now. You're not here by chance. You're here by design. Now, the writer of Hebrews doesn't stop. He tells us how that obedience was formed. Here it comes. He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Underline, he suffered. Faithfulness is proven in pressure. Diamonds are created out of pressure, correct? Ladies, all the ladies said? Yes, yes, yes. Moving on. Faithfulness is proven in pressure. Don't miss that. He learned through suffering. That includes everything, not just the cross. You see, the Greek word suffered means to experience pain, to endure hardship, to undergo something difficult. Has anybody in this place endured something difficult? Raise your hands. Those of you who have not raised your hands, you're lying. But thank you. You are more honest than the first service. Only Paulina raised her hands. And I said to them, you're lying. And everybody's like, oh, no, 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 no. So thank you for being truthful. The truth will set you free. But we can here go, yep, experience pain. Yep, endured hardship. Yep, undergo something difficult. But Jesus did not learn obedience at ease. He learned by things which he suffered. Obedience is learned through suffering. We don't want to hear this. We don't want this. But that right there, that Jesus learned it through suffering, that right there should change how we view our own trials as we embark on this journey of faithfulness. I was speaking to somebody before the first service, and this person was telling me how there's been so much wrong done to this person over a period of time, and it's like her world's just gone a little bit haywire. And she says, Pastor, ever since you started preaching on faithfulness. I said, hang on to it. This message is for you. Listen. Because your present is not your future. He has something bigger for you. We should view our own trials and our own tribulations, our things that we are going through, we should view it differently as we embark on this journey of faithfulness, knowing that even Jesus learned through suffering. The pressure you may be enduring right now, the pressure that you're, it's not evidence that God has abandoned you. It could be evidence that he is forming you. There's things that he wants you to lay down. There's things that he wants you to give to him. There's things that he wants you to surrender. Because he has something more for you. Because the very thing you want God to remove may be the very thing he is using to refine you. To prepare you. See, the wilderness formed David. The prison formed Joseph. The cross revealed Christ. Your present pressure is not pointless. It's producing something eternal. Think about it. It's producing something eternal. Do we still read about David? Do we still tell stories about Joseph? Do we still talk about Christ? How many centuries later? Come on. We've got to get this revelation. Your present pressure is not pointless. It's producing something eternal, something that will live beyond you. Why are you saying this? Well, let's read Hebrews 5:9. It goes on from there and says, and having been made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Faithfulness produces eternal impacts. Don't miss the progression. Don't miss it. He learned, he suffered, he was made perfect, and he became. Listen to what I'm saying. He learned, he suffered, he was made perfect, he became. He learned, he suffered, he was made, he became. We can go, we learn, we suffer, we learn, we suffer, we learn, we suffer, but we will be made and we will become perfect. Why do we learn and suffer and learn and suffer? Because sometimes when we're suffering, what do? We go back to default. And we go around the mulberry bush again. We go around in the wilderness again for another 40 years. God forbid. Wilderness is over. I declare that over all of us. It's time for us as the church to walk into the promised land. To take the promises that he has for us and make them ours. Your faithfulness today produces fruit tomorrow. It produces fruit tomorrow. Today impacts tomorrow. What you're faithful with today impacts tomorrow. Where you're obedient today impacts tomorrow. Where you are disobedient today impacts tomorrow. But we're not talking about disobedience. We're talking about obedience. We're talking about faithfulness. But you've got to get this picture. I sat Monday, my day off. From about 4 o'clock, I don't know why I was awake so early, but 4 o'clock in the scripture reading, and I got this revelation, and I'm like, whoa. Kids came down, put Jamie to work, Elizabeth came down, Paulina went, dropped her or came back. I'm sitting there going, whoa. Tuesday, whoa. Wednesday, whoa. All week last week, all week this week, I'm just going, whoa, looking at the scripture, thinking, am I really reading this? Am I reading this? Was it, go with me. Was it the obedience and faithfulness in obedience that made Jesus perfect in God's eyes? Think about it. It's mind-blowing. I mean, there's a comma and comma. Let's read that. All the English teachers. Son though he was, comma. He, in other words, take a breath. He learned obedience from what he suffered and once made perfect, comma. And, so he suffered and once made perfect, comma, he became. I don't know about you, but am I really reading this? The New King James Version has got a full stop. And it says, and having been made perfect. Blows my mind. Was the key or the keys or some of the keys to becoming the author of eternal salvation, obedience and faithfulness? Is it possible? Is it possible at all? Because we don't allow ourselves to think that way. But I think what God is trying to highlight to us is obedience and faithfulness is integral in our walk as children of God. It's integral. It is not I'll think about it and then I'll decide if I want to do it. It's a no. You must. He did, you must. He did, you must. It's not a, I'll get to it when I feel like it. It's not that. I came to this conclusion, which is actually very anticlimactical to this whole revelation. And this was this, suffering was not the end of the story, but it was the pathway to eternal impact. Wow. Though he was the Son, Jesus learned obedience through suffering, and through that obedience, he was made perfect. But, there's a but. Let's take the breath. There's a but. He was made perfect, not in holiness, but in mission. His obedience through suffering brought the saving work to completion and secured our eternal life for all. He suffered sacrificially as man to be that sacrifice so that you and I could have salvation and eternal life. Don't know about you, but my heart is pumping. I am excited. Doesn't that blow your mind? Doesn't that make you think, whoa, what a God we serve. Loving. I mean, that whole loving God just goes to a new level. I don't know about you, but I have got gooses all over. Folks, faithfulness, thanks Tim, wherever you are, faithfulness in the hands of God produces results beyond you. You've got to hear this. Faithfulness in the hands of God produces results beyond you. Beyond you. That's how come. Last week we actually talked about this, or Pastor Wayne touched on this the week before we touched on it. What is in your hand? He's not asking you to be faithful with what's not in your hand. He's asking you to be faithful with what is in your hand. In your hand. What is in your hand, folks? I think we spend time that first week where we're like, God, show us what is in our hands. Faithfulness in the hands of God produces results beyond you. Let me flesh that out. It produces results in your family, in your marriage, in your workplace, in your church, in your city, in your community, in your nation, and the nations of the world. You know, we could have one of our young adults sitting here who has the anointing of Catherine Kuhlman upon him. And we could be preaching a message like this today. Whew. That ignites the fire in the belly of that woman. And she goes around and travels around and brings heaven to earth like we have not yet seen in our years. There could be an elderly in power, elderly gentleman here, who feels that they're down and out, that their time is over. But a message like this can help them to start being faithful with that little seed of evangelism in their hands, that they live another 10 years but do a greater work than what Reinhard Bonnke did. Who knows? He knows. Nobody else knows. He knows. He knows what is placed into your hand. He knows. But the church is, last year was all about obedience. This year is all about faithfulness. Why? Because the church has lost that. But God's laid it on our hearts. And we're saying, yes, Lord, we will pursue. We will pursue. One step at a time, one step at a time, one step at a time. You see, because you could be here today. You go, JJ, I've got no idea. I've got no idea how I can do this. So you go, JJ, you don't understand my circumstances. I say to you, my answer to you is be faithful. Take it one step. Continue being obedient. Take it one step. Another step of obedience. But you don't understand. Everything's falling to bits, JJ. Be obedient to God. Stand on His promises. Take those prophetic words that have been prophesied over you. And as Paul said to Timothy, use them as weapons and declare them into fulfillment. Use them as weapons. Use them as weapons. Pray. Use them as weapons. And just each time, it's a small step. It's a small step. It's a small step. But you know what? That obedience equals faithfulness, because over here, He promises you a life and a life in abundance. John 10:10 says, the thief comes to only to steal, kill, and destroy. And we focus on that because we see glasses half empty instead of half full, because there's more to that sentence. There's a comma there. There's a comma. The thief comes to steal, only to steal, kill, and destroy, comma, but I come to give you life, and that in abundance. The little steps here, one for one, for one for one, maybe two steps forward, three steps back, four steps forward, three steps back. Guess what? You're on the trajectory. You're going places in your faithfulness and your obedience to take what He has promised you. Come on, let's give Him glory. Calling you higher. I preach this. I bring this. I submit this to you because I love you. And I want you to get the revelation I got. My goodness, He suffered. He learned obedience through His suffering. Who are we to whinge when it's not going good? Who are we to whinge when it doesn't go our way? We have the Savior who walked that same path that we have. As man, He walked the same path. And He's saying, come, follow me. Come, you can do it. He's Papa God going, come, my son. Come, my daughter. I have a life of abundance for you. It's not easy. It won't be easy, my child. I'm not promising you that it'll be paved with gold, and that's when you get there. When you get there, and I come and fetch you, you'll have a house built for you. You'll have roads paved with gold. God's calling us higher. He is so calling us higher. Jesus. Father, we see from this that faithfulness is not easy. We see from this, Father, that faithfulness is not convenience. Faithfulness is not seasonal enthusiasm. Faithfulness is steadfast obedience. And this morning, as your church, we come and we pray. Help us to be obedient, Holy Spirit, in times of testing. Help us to be obedient in times of refining. Help us to be obedient and hold fast unto your 7,000 plus promises in times of suffering. We dedicate this year. I dedicate each one that is here, each one that hears this message, I dedicate to you. And Lord, I stand in the gap and say, we give you our yes to live a life and a year of faithfulness. One step at a time. One step at a time. One step at a time. God's doing heart work right now. I sense it. I sense it first service. I'm sensing it now. I just want you to lay your hand or even both hands on your heart. God's busy doing heart surgery. Removing those places that have not been whole. Heart surgery, Lord. We say yes, Lord, even if it's ouchy. We say yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Father, we know that our faithfulness today produces fruit tomorrow. Help us to be fruitful. Each person hearing this, help us to be fruitful, Lord. Help us to be healthy fruit trees, Lord, where the fruit is so heavy that we struggle to keep the branches up, Lord. I'm seeing pictures, orchards and orchards of the fruit so large and so juicy and so heavy that the branches are bent from the lusciousness. And I declare today that that is how the church will be seen by the world out there. That the church will be the place. I'm not talking about a building. I'm talking about you. The church will be the place where the world will come to shelter and find sustenance in their spirit. I declare that. I declare that.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening